Everybody says don't, everybody says don't, everybody says don't walk on the grass, don't disturb the peace.
She didn't disturb the peace. Instead, she found hers through her unique style of music.
I took a semester off of college during COVID, and I started posting these little singing videos.
And if you fail, you fail.
But she didn't fail. Actually, pursuing her dreams and facing her fears that her style just didn't fit, it led to big success.
I would be singing these songs and I would just like get overwhelmed with emotion and start like crying, like watching a movie musical or singing along to something because I was like, oh, I'm so scared. I'm not gonna be able to do this someday.
She's clearly an old soul at just 26 years old with millions paying attention. It's Stella Cole, now on The Pulse.
I can buy myself flowers, write my name in the sand.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. You know the drill. We have cool people with cool stories, interesting backgrounds, and as much as I love just the performances, I really enjoy the stories. And today's guest, performer, she's become a social media phenomenon. She is on tour, going all over the place, got like 2 million followers and hits, a new album coming out, what, in a couple weeks? Stella Cole joins us on The Pulse. How are you?
I'm great, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Appreciate you taking some time with us.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
So I talk about the story, right? And that's kind of the thing that's interesting to me. And I'm sure you would admit you have one.
It's kind of I have a story. The past couple of years have been quite a story, I think. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's kind of a journey. So take us back a little bit into how you got into this, because your style of music and your performance is not necessarily what people would assume when they find out you're in your 20s.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm 26 years old, which surprises people sometimes. I have a rather mature voice, I think. And I think if I'm going to take you back to the start, I would have to take you back to me being like 2 years old. Okay. So we have to go all the way back because my first introduction to this music was when I was really, really young. I could barely talk when I first heard these jazz standards, these songs from the Great American Songbook. And my introduction to this music was actually in movies. So one of the first movies I ever fell in love with was The Wizard of Oz. I saw it when I was 2, and my parents say that I just was immediately obsessed with it. Wanted all the Barbies, wanted to play Wizard of Oz, act out all the characters. Third birthday was Wizard of Oz themed, of course. I was just obsessed with Dorothy and the music, and they started showing me all these other movies like Singing in the Rain and The Sound of Music, Mary Poppins, Meet Me in St. Louis, and that just became my whole personality for, I guess, my whole life, because here we are now, my tastes haven't changed very much.
So what's interesting about that is I feel like I could tell stories. I was singing, you know, during the mic check going forward. There's a fine line between supporting your 2 and 3 year old who falls in love with The Wizard of Oz, you know, and recognizing your child really can't sing. Like, nobody wants to say that to a 2 or 3 year old. So did they recognize that there was talent at that point, or it was just, hey, it's kind of cool that our daughter likes this?
I think there was talent, like, if not yet in my actual voice, I think it was sort of strange that I was a 3-year-old, like, memorizing full songs and, like, memorizing full scenes from movies. Like, I remember reciting scenes from The Wizard of Oz. Like, I don't know if I was 3 or 4, but very young to be memorizing all of that stuff. I think I just had this weird knack for it and loved to get up on my dad's desk and have my little plastic microphone and sing songs from all kinds of movies. And so I think they were like, she seems to really like this. I'm not sure that I necessarily had like so much talent at that time. But I'd say for a 3-year-old, I was pretty good, if that makes sense.
Okay, fair enough. That was good. They were like, okay, she's not awful. We need to go ahead.
This isn't painful to listen to, at the very least.
We shouldn't redirect her into something else. Like, she can go down this path. Do you remember this or these stories that people have told you? Like, do you remember that love?
Stories and home videos. I remember the love definitely in like elementary school, middle school, high school. You know, all my friends were listening to the normal music, I don't know, that like a 14-year-old listens to. And yeah, I remember lots of times when I was, you know, when we were 16 and 17, driving places in high school and yeah, they'd always get, when I was the one driving and, you know, I had control of the playlist, it was always a lot of Judy Garland, a lot of musical theater soundtracks, and they were all like, oh my God. And I didn't care. I loved it. I forced it upon them. And they came to love it too, I think.
Okay. So that wasn't, yeah, it wasn't like, oh, what is she doing? Like you were able to still be in the cool group of friends, even though you had unique musical tastes.
Exactly. They accepted me for who I was, which was nice. But yeah, later in college, I became a little bit embarrassed of, you know, I was in this new environment, new friends. I had the same friends my whole life growing up, and I became a little bit embarrassed that my taste was different than everybody else. And my voice at that point sounded a little bit different than other people's. And I had a different set of skills than like the classic musical theater or like pop singer, I guess. So yeah, there was a point where I became insecure about it at my first couple of years of college. But my young life, I think it was a big part of my personality. Yeah.
So when did it grow? Like, you knew you loved this. You said that you started doing some musical theater. You started auditioning for various things. When did it become, she really does have talent and not just me singing in the car, I'm actually going to do this?
I think my parents always really believed I had talent. And, you know, I was in community theater musicals and plays all the time and did well in my like little community. I grew up in a small city, Springfield, Illinois, with a great community theater scene, actually. And, you know, getting the lead in my school musical, it was just small things like that. But everybody sort of knew me as like the singer girl who wanted to be on Broadway someday. And I was very practical, actually, and was like, no, I shouldn't try to do all of that. I'd always dreamed of moving to New York and trying to be an actor or a singer. But I was like, no, that's too scary. I had never known anyone who had done that for a career path or even tried to do that and failed. I never had known anyone that had tried. And so I was like, I'm going to go to law school. I'm going to work in, you know, some other field. I was really great in school. I was like, I could even try to go to med school. You know, I just wanted a sure thing. And my parents actually really encouraged me. Like, no, you've loved this your whole life. You have talent. Your face lights up when you talk about this stuff. Like, pursue what you love. So we found a middle ground. I went to Northwestern outside of Chicago, and I double majored in international relations, like, so I could go to law school, and theater and musical theater. And yeah, I ended up doing the music thing, but not really because of college. It was actually because I took a semester off of college during COVID, and I started posting these little singing videos that now a lot of people have seen, I guess.
These little singing videos and the 16 million views on some of these
my silly little videos, because they are just dumb. I mean, I know a lot of people have seen them, but I just think they're funny, you know?
Okay, so from a young age, you were an underachiever. I'm either going to get 16 million views or go to law school, maybe be a doctor. I'll figure it out as I go
along. Exactly. Yeah, I'll just do the easy stuff.
But then it was always, even when you wanted to go to New York and do the acting and performing, it was musical theater, not like, I want to be a pop star.
No, because I didn't like pop music, and I couldn't sing like pop singers, and I couldn't write. I'd never tried to write music. Like, I never ever dreamed I would be a recording artist. I assumed there was no market at all for this kind of music. And I knew about like Michael Bublé, and I knew vaguely about like Diana Krall, I think, but they were in a completely different world. Like, I could have never imagined that being me, if that makes sense. So I think Broadway was the thing where I was like, yeah, all these songs I like come from Broadway shows from like the 40s and 30s and 40s and 50s. So I love Broadway, but what I really loved was the Great American Songbook. Yeah.
All right. So talk about, you said that there was a time where there was a little bit of embarrassment. You were going, doing the kind of the college thing. You did musical theater, deciding if you want to be a doctor or an attorney. We're just going to skate right past that. So you're doing the whole musical theater thing. But even then, there was what, like a little bit of insecurity about where this goes?
Yeah. I mean, I was doing the musical theater thing. I think I had this fear from the time I was really young. I wanted to do this so bad, and I loved it so much, that I remember all these times in like high school when I was like 15, probably, I would be singing these songs, and I would just like get overwhelmed with emotion and start like crying, like watching a musical, a movie musical, or singing along to something, because I was like, oh, I'm so scared I'm not going to be able to do this someday, if that makes sense. So I think I had already had like a big amount of fear or insecurity for some reason. But when I got to college and was in this new environment, you know, I grew up in the Midwest and in a town where, like I said, I didn't know anyone who had become a professional performer. And a lot of the kids in this program were from, you know, New York or LA or big cities near a big city outside of Chicago. And they had access to all these like Broadway voice teachers and all these acting workshops. And I just felt very behind when I got to school because I had been doing like community theater. And yeah, that was about it. So I really like shrunk into myself a bit in college and tried to like what everyone else liked and do what everyone else was doing. And I was a bit discouraged by a teacher I had at Northwestern who sort of tried to mold me into more of like a pop singer and more of a musical theater singer, and was sort of told me there wasn't a market for the Great American Songbook thing. And if I kept singing with the Judy Garland thing, like I was never going to be on Broadway unless they did, you know, a Judy Garland tribute or something, I remember. So, yeah, I was very discouraged and had actually quit singing or quit taking it seriously at all by my sophomore, junior year of college when COVID hit. And then I was sent home from school, and that's when everything sort of changed.
So let's explore that. But first, where's that teacher now?
Are we not shouting them out? I never shout them out. That teacher I always respected and I think is a quite lovely human person. They just
painfully wrong and bad at their job.
Yeah, they just didn't get it at the time. I don't know. I don't really have that many hard feelings for some reason. Maybe I'm too forgiving, but I don't know.
I mean, you're forgiving and have 16 million views and 2 million followers. Like, it's a little easier to not have hard feelings.
Yeah, that's true. They were wrong, and I figured it out, and that's awesome.
You're doing all right. Exactly. You're on the other side of this. So COVID hits, and COVID mm-hmm. changes everybody's life.
Yeah.
And that got you back into music.
Yes, in the weirdest way. So I took a semester, basically, off of school because I thought that paying for Zoom acting classes seemed like a waste of everyone's money and time, respectfully. You just can't really do a play on Zoom that easily. So I took some time off just to see like what's going on with the world. And everyone was looking for comfort at that time, I think. You know, it was unclear if the world was ending or what was going on. And so I was watching all of these old movies again that I grew up on and that I had loved my whole life, and then just sort of like shoved down or something and pretended that's not really what I liked for the last couple of years. And I was having this extreme like emotional reaction once again to all of these movies and the comfort and how much I love them and just sort of remembering. And I was remembering this, that I love this music. And I was on a walk with my dad one day, sort of talking to him about all this. We were walking our dog, and because I was living with my parents, I think I mentioned that, moved out of my college dorm, moved in with my family. And anyway, my dad and I were on a walk, and I was like, you know, I really miss singing. I really do love it. He's like, you're so good at it, and you're so funny. Like, you should post videos of yourself singing on YouTube. And I was like, no way, that would be humiliating. What if my friends saw? You can tell the insecurity is sort of a thread throughout. Yeah. But
And FYI, the same friends that you've been making listen to Judy Garland in the car the whole time. So they've been listening to you sing anyway.
Those friends could see. I think I was scared of the like new college friends like judging me and thinking I was untalented or something. Thinking I was like trying and that would be embarrassing. I'm not sure really what I thought, but I had heard of this new app, relatively new app called TikTok, and I was like, I don't think my friends are on there yet. Like, I'll post some videos on there. And so it became this sort of daily routine of mine just to post videos, and my dad and I were super into it. I'd be like, look, Dad, I got like 40 views. That's awesome. And he was like, wow, amazing. And we were having a lot of fun with it as a family, I think. And then one day something got like 200,000 views, and I was like, wait, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And then from there, you know, musicians who I had sort of worshipped and looked up to my whole life started like reposting my videos or commenting on them. And from there, it became this whole thing.
This whole thing. So social media really did kind of change your life.
Yeah.
You went out there and did it. And those people, it like James Taylor, you know, you mentioned Michael Bublé before, you know, Megan, big stars saw your music. And so what's that like when you're sitting there, this little the app that nobody had heard of, and now people with, you know, huge following are commenting and sharing your work?
It was unreal. I always talk about it feeling just unreal, because it felt just like this little game on my phone or something before it became Michael Bublé and Meghan Trainor and whoever. I was just shocked, because nothing about my daily life was changing. It was a lockdown. I was just seeing my family and my dog and my little brother, and we were playing games and reading books and hanging out. But it was like, oh yeah, and then I got like 50,000 likes. Like, isn't that crazy? But it just didn't feel like real life until I think the James Taylor thing was the first recognition I got from someone I admired. And that was a crazy moment. I screamed so loud when I saw it that my parents ran upstairs and were like, what's happening? Is there a fire? And I was like, no, it's just that James Taylor has liked my post on Instagram. And what are you even talking about? So then everyone started screaming. It was a pretty interesting transition, I guess, when it was all just on the phone. Yeah.
So it's interesting, because you talk about, you know, college, and you talk about COVID and this all happening, but it's only 2025. So we're talking about in the last 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Now that this has happened. And now it's almost 2 million followers across different platforms. And as I was saying, I was on your page earlier, and some of the videos with tens of millions of views, like it's like, whoa, okay. So this journey for you, you're still very much in the middle of it, but what's it feeling like now?
Still fake, I have to say. I just, like, you know, I live in New York now, and people, you know, recognize me on the street quite a bit. And I just, like, still, not quite a bit, it doesn't happen like 20 times a day or anything, but you know, it happens more than it ever did in 2019. And so I still, like, people can come up to me or come up to me after, you know, I play these like big theaters in Europe, and all these like French people are like, oh my God, I'm a huge fan. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't know. I think my brain hasn't quite caught up to the fact that this is all happening. I think there's some stuff that I haven't fully processed. But it's been beyond a dream come true. I can't believe it's my job now to like travel all around the world throughout the year with my band and sing these songs that I've loved my whole life. It feels fake, and I have to pinch myself at least once a day, I think.
I think that energy is what makes it so exciting and fun for the rest of us who are kind of watching it. You're sitting back going, she's really just having a good time with this, and it's continuing to grow. And 4 years ago, she's like, I don't know if I want to sing anymore. Like, that's a cool journey. All right, so you talk about you get to tour around. You are on tour right now, coming to Philly September 7th, City Winery here, but making several stops. What are we going to see when you come to town?
Well, I am going on tour to promote my new album that's coming out in like 9 days or something, I think. I'm so excited. The album is called It's Magic. And so I'll be singing a lot of songs from the new album for sure. On the album, you hear it with a big string section, all these beautiful orchestra parts. And when I tour, it's a smaller band, just a trio. So an upright bass, drums, and piano. And I think it's really fun that it's a little bit more intimate on tour, because you're hearing the same songs, but it's not the exact same thing that's on the record. It's sort of a different version. So it's going to be, like the record, a lot of beautifully romantic old love songs written in the 40s and the 50s. And I think during the show, I'm always just ridiculous on stage. People have been like, I didn't expect you to tell so many jokes. Like, okay, go into a career in stand-up comedy, which is ridiculous, because I don't think I'm very funny at all. But I yap a lot on stage. So I think people will get to know more of my personality for sure if they come out to a show than just from listening to the record. So yeah, I think people can just get a deeper insight into me as a singer and musician and a person, if that makes sense.
We can see some of it on social, but it'll be cool to kind of be there and see the performances. And I think the response, I guess, like, I haven't been there on tour when it has happened yet. But the response is kind of similar. Like, I was sitting there watching your music. People are surprised that you're 26. In fact, you know, a 26-year-old who walks down the street in New York and does performances and goes to dinner because it's such a mature performance.
Yes, exactly. I feel like my humor and my just being an idiot on stage is sort of like to balance out this like, serious jazz and the music. And, you know, I'd be like, because it's not really all that serious. It's meant to be fun. It's meant to be a fun distraction and a sort of escape and all of that. So, yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good point.
All right. So I know you've got other interviews to do. So a couple more things that I've got to wrap up. But if people want to, the album is coming out August 22nd. So it's coming out. If we want to go ahead and order it, can we do that now? Do we have to wait? They're pre-orders. Just follow you on social. Like, what's the plan?
Yes. What's the plan? That's a good question. There is a place you can pre-order. You can pre-save it on Spotify or any other streaming platform or on my website, stellagold.net. I feel like an infomercial, stellagold.net. You can pre-order the vinyl, the special signed edition of the vinyl or the CD, if anyone still has a CD player anymore. And once the album is out, if you want to go to the shows, then in Philly or elsewhere, I'll be selling the vinyl and everything and signing it for people after the show. So my social media, it's just Stella K. Cole everywhere. Or you can just Google my name and probably it'll come up.
We just had a longtime R&B singer, kind of a jazzy voice. Eric Roberson was just on with us. And he was talking about the whole kind of vinyl comeback, you know, and how it is a big thing now. It kind of cool. Like, it fits into what you're doing, because he actually gave me an album that I took home and was playing on my newly refurbished, you know, record player. So it's cool. Like, very good timing for what you're doing.
It's amazing. I think the vinyl resurgence is so cool. And I also think it speaks to like a greater cultural shift where people are sort of thinking this like vintage aesthetic is cool. Not romanticizing the 1940s and 50s, that's a different thing. But to, you know, be going back and saying like, ooh, I love like this aesthetic or like these dresses or, you know, the vintage music or just everything is so digital and everything is so social media heavy. So I think to go back to like a slower time for entertainment has been interesting for at least my generation. I love collecting vinyl, and something I do when I'm on tour is go to vinyl stores and vintage stores everywhere and try to look through vinyl. So yeah, it really goes with the old timiness, I think, of my music. And it's a convenient time for vinyl to be back.
I think you're an old soul, Stella Cole.
Yes, I like that, but it rhymed. Yeah, okay,
right? It's almost like I'm a performer who just can't sing. All right. We wrap up every episode of The Pulse. The theme of this show is use your voice for good. So I ask everybody the same question. When you hear the statement, use your voice for good, what does that mean to you?
I love that. Well, I think as an artist, it's amazing to have the freedom to do good in people's lives. And I think I used to think that being an artist or an entertainer was a very selfish career where you're just thinking about yourself and what are you going to wear and what's your makeup and, you know, your weight and blah, 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 all these like surface level things that don't matter. But I found that actually what drives me the most as an artist is, and when I'm the happiest in my job, is thinking about like what I can do for other people. And I think what the response I originally got during COVID, you know, as far back as 2020 or 2021 is, you know, people were telling me that listening to my music really calmed them down or, you know, made them think of a grandmother who had passed, or their mom used to sing them Moon River every night, and now I was singing that and bringing back those memories. So I think, like, quite literally, I'm using my voice for good, in that I really hope that this album and that all of my music can provide a sort of comfort to people in the current time of chaos in our country and world. And when I hear use your voice for good separately, I think of we need to save the trees. There are lots of trees behind me. I'm currently visiting family in the middle of the woods, but I'm just such a big nature girl, and what's happening to the environment makes me so sad and distressed. So go plant a tree, everybody.
mic drop moment. She is on tour. You can check her out. There is a new album out. You can see her on social media. Make sure you follow her. I have. You should as well. You will absolutely enjoy your time spent with Stella Cole. I have. Thank you for spending so much time with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Bill. This has been so much fun. I appreciate it.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today with singer, performer, social media phenom, Stella Cole. It's very cool hearing people's stories, and I'm particularly inspired by people who've taken kind of an unusual path for the kind of music that she's into to only be 26 and, you know, got started when she was 2, 3, 4 years old and keep following that goal. It's inspiring. I enjoyed it. I hope you did as well. Do me a favor, hit like, subscribe, follow, whatever it is that's appearing on your screen so you'll get a notification every week when another episode of The Pulse comes out. You can download the Fox Local app so you can watch all of our episodes right there on demand. And hit me up on social media at BillAFox29. I always love to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening, and I leave you today as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.